Over the last 6 weeks, we've heard a lot of different beginnings while in worship. We started everything off with the story of creation, Genesis 1, where God took dust and formed us. We watched as Jesus, in the Gospel according to John, started his public ministry when the wine at a wedding party ran out. And then the very next week, Jesus walked into a synagogue and began his public ministry in the Gospel according to Luke with a 9-word sermon. So today, on this first day of Lent, we're in the middle of Matthew's beginning. Jesus is on a mountain, surrounded by his disciples and a large crowd. Jesus begins to speak, sharing a sermon about what being a disciple of God actually looks like. Creation, a party, a religious gathering, and a sermon. These are good ways, holy ways to start first things. But when it comes to the ashes in this little bowl, ashes that I'll use to mark our foreheads in the shape of the cross, my first things weren't nearly as holy. The first things I grabbed were an old red singed coffee can, a box of ashes, a dusty old sieve, and a lime green fruit smasher with the name of a bar written on it. I then trudged out to the fire pit next to the picnic tables behind the Genesis garden, and I set up my ash-making station. I was ready to burn, but I still needed to find some fuel. Now, for me at least, it's strange to think about burning, about fire, during Lent. The season of Lent is always a time for quiet and reflection. It's a time for us as a church to slow down, to take a breath and see Jesus. We're not here to see Jesus as we want Jesus to be. We're here to spend these 40 days and 6 Sundays proclaiming Jesus as he truly is. We're here to see him teach, to hear his words, see his struggles, and to stand at the foot of the cross. Lent is an opportunity for us to step back from our busyness and step into how God is busy in our lives. Lent, in a sense, is a time for us to try to breathe God in. But when I try to breathe God in, I don't usually want to breathe in God's fire. Breathing in fire, that flame and heat, is something I'd like to avoid. I have no problem imagining breathing in a God who is like a cool mountain breeze, or maybe an Irish spring. Even a God who is ice cold in the middle of a snowstorm is easier to breathe in than a God of fire. I've been in the middle of the desert when there's no humidity, when the temperature is over 120 degrees, and there is only dust, heat, and every breath entering my lungs burns. There's something punishing about that kind of air. But ashes can't be formed by a cool mountain breeze. They need fire. They need flame. And when we breathe in God, we need that flame too. Now that sense of fire, that flame, that burning of God, is why I think the disciples and crowd gathered around Jesus. They knew that there was a passion, an energy in Jesus and in what God is doing in the world. None of Jesus' words in his sermon can be described as a cool mountain breeze. Jesus is telling them what it means to be a follower of Christ, what it actually looks like to be a disciple. Those early followers want to be a part of what Jesus is doing, and Jesus lets them know that being a disciple means we might get burned. So back to that old red burnt coffee can, sitting in the fire pit, ready for its fuel. I trudged back into the church building, down the ramp next to our library, walked through the fellowship hall opsle, and into the storage room in the back. Now, after I turned on the lights, I looked up to the very top shelf, way above my head, and saw a little bundle wrapped in plastic. I knew that's what I needed, and I also knew I needed a ladder to get that down. But of course, I couldn't find a ladder. So instead, Tom, don't listen, I climbed on a chair, crawled onto the large metal cabinet, reached up, and grabbed that bundle. So with this fuel in my hand, I walked back to the fire pit, unwrapped these long, dried-out stems, bunched them, crunched them, and stuffed them into the coffee can. And then I lit a match, watching as these palm fronds, the same palms we used last Palm Sunday, ignite. They burned quickly, with the wind blowing the smoke into my face and the leaves becoming ashen memories of what they were before. After the fire went out, I gently crushed what was there, straining out the big pieces so that only these little ashes remained. I added a few drops of olive oil, mixed it, and that's it. That's the ashes for Ash Wednesday. This is what I'll use to gently mark your forehead in the shape of a cross. It's a reminder of what these ashes were originally for. A symbol of what Jesus did in Jerusalem on the cross, and a reminder that this Jesus who loves us, who lives for us, who lights a fire in us, this Jesus who died for us, will never let us go. Now, there's a risk to being a disciple. There's a risk in carrying God's flame. But in Jesus, God's fire, God's love, God's mercy for us and for this world, that's implanted in us. Inhaling God means we're going to add oxygen to the fuel that to fuel the love that God has already given us. We can sometimes feel like we're an old, red, singed coffee can. We can think we're just a dusty sieve without a sense of purpose or point in our lives. We can want a God who keeps us cool to the touch. But a God who is cool to the touch isn't a God who can change us. Tonight's a night to remember who we are. We are God's. We are Christ's. Lent is a time to see Christ, to hear God's story, to see that Jesus' cross is given to you, to me, and to this whole world. We inhale so that when we exhale, God's love, God's mercy, God's forgiveness, these gifts that are given to us, they will go out and cover the world.